Thank you for being here this afternoon. I've got a lot to get across today, and I want to mind the Lord, but it seemed like Miss Eve will tell you, I sat at the dining room table, and I just started chewing and chewing and chewing, and the more I chewed, the bigger it got. Every once in a while, I'd holler at her and say, honey, come in here, look at this. Amen. Don't you think that's the way the Word of God ought to be? Amen. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing looking in the book of Psalms 119. Where I want to read from today, I think, let me look here. Let's go to verse 41. Verse 41. 119 and verse number 41. I've got so much laying in front of me. If it comes out right, it'll be a miracle. God will help us. Amen. In verse 41, the Bible said, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Verse 45 is where we'll get our text today. And he said, and I will walk at liberty. I want to preach a little while today on the subject walking in liberty. Walking in liberty. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and will meditate in thy statutes. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you today for these that have come out, Lord, to worship you, to sing and hear the songs of Zion, to hear the word of God, God, to worship together, to fellowship together. And how I pray, Lord, that our time together this cold afternoon in January will be a blessing. I pray, Lord, you'll feed us. I pray, dear God, today that you will, Lord, just help us to be a thankful people. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to give the increase. And God, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I prayed and asked God to continue to give the increase, I thought this might be a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me. When we signed up, I don't know, several months, I guess, after I came here as pastor with the call them all to put the phone call out to the church, there were 62 families in the list. And they told me, they said, Pastor, when you get ready to go over 100 families, well, that costs more money. But they said, you have to call us before you enter 100 families, before you go there. And so on this snow schedule, I've sent several text messages because I'm going to have to wait till Monday to go over 100 families. You tell me God ain't good. You say, who's going to pay the bill? Kim is. I ain't worried about the bill. Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord. Don't you, Sister Kim? He's been so good to us. It's not a huge increase, just a little bit. It's not a real big bill to start with. But I thought that would bless your heart. It did mine. And we praise the Lord. I want to look at the subject, walking at liberty. Brother Brian, I thought since we wasn't having Sunday school, I could just wing it a few minutes here in the introduction. And if they want to, they can call that Sunday school. Okay. I got a few things I want to share with you just concerning the entire psalm. I didn't mean for this to happen the way that it did. but it did. I've heard several people say things over the years. They would say, well, the Word of God is mentioned in every verse in Psalm 119. And then I've heard people say, well, with the exception of just a verse or two, it's mentioned in every verse. I do remember one preacher saying, with the exception of six verses. And I've heard many preachers say, with the exception of several verses, you know, kind of in a way like that. And so I sat out last night, and this is just the introduction. Don't get excited, amen. But I sat out last night to find out. I said, praise God, I got a little bit of mind. And I printed off Psalm 119. Actually, I didn't print it off. I copied it and pasted it into a Word document. And when you look into the Psalm 119, just by way of introduction, there are eight words that are used primarily for the Word of God. The word, the word judgments, the word testimonies, the word commandments, the word statutes, the word precepts. And the word is used 24 times. Judgments is used 23 times. Testimonies is used 23 times. Commandments is used 22 times. And statutes is used 21 times. Precepts is used 21 times. And then the word that may denote anything that God has spoken is used 19 times. I also found two more direct references to the Word of God, and that is in the word ordinances, that's used one time, and in the word name. And I'm telling you, you're going to get you a blessing right there when I look at that in just a minute. Because what I was trying to do is figure out how many verses made reference directly to the Word of God, and then if there were verses that did not make reference to the Word of God at all, and then if there were verses that made reference indirectly to the Word of God in Psalm 119. Well, if you were just to look at what I just said, you would have to agree with me that the Psalm is written to magnify the importance of the Word of God in our lives. Amen? We need God's Word. And I'll say some things today that I hope will be a blessing. I told you in the beginning of these messages, I didn't know that we were going to be staying a while. But I tell you what, the way I feel right now, we may stay a little while longer. Amen. There's 22 sections of 8 verses. And 8 in the Word of God is the number of new beginning. And the 22 sections all begin with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. I learned a little bit about that as I studied. 22, if you look in numerology, is the number of a suffering servant. And it's also the number of light. And so Jesus, the Son of God, was the light of the world. The suffering servant became the light and shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's why you and I can walk in light today. Amen. It's because of the Word of God. The Hebrew language. Think about these letters I told you about. I'm just going to read a little bit here because it'll bless you. Maybe it'll wet your whistle and you'll want to go look some more. The Hebrew language is the language that God spoke. Hebrew predates all modern languages. The Hebrew letters are pictures. I didn't know that until I studied. The first letter, Aleph, is a picture of a mighty ox carrying a burden. I didn't know that, but I studied a little bit. Think about this. The Hebrew letters represent objects which carry with them an association. You see the picture of an ox, but the association is strength. The association is strong, what do we say, as a ox, strong as an ox. So Aleph is the first letter used in this psalm, and it means first in strength. Beth is the picture of a house. Think about that, the second letter. And Aleph is the picture of an ox. So the ox of the house, this will help you gentlemen, amen. The ox of the house, Aleph Beth in Hebrew means father. Father is the ox, the head of the house. In other words, the Hebrew language is a lot more intricate, a lot more complicated, so to speak, a lot more defining than the English language is. I never have been able to figure out why that F-O-O-D is food and G-O-O-D is good. It looks to me like it'd either be good food or good food. Say amen right there. But it's all the way it is. That's the English language for you. Amen. And so this afternoon, it'll be hard not to say this morning. I have been up since 6 o'clock, but it'll still be hard for me not to say this morning while I'm preaching. But this afternoon, I just thought that was interesting. I looked myself in the Word of God in Psalm 119, and these words, these terms that I gave you in the beginning here, words, judgment, testimonies, commandments, etc., they're used 178 times in 176 verses. But they're not used in every verse. I've already told you there were two verses where the word ordinance was used and the word name. And that was verse 91 and verse 132. But there are six verses, where we find an indirect reference to the Word of God. And that'll remind me of this. There's a verse, I'm going to share it with you in a minute, where in my notes, as I looked at it last night, I said, there's no reference. I found one verse where I said, there's no reference to the Word of God in that verse. Thank God. God allows you to back up. I wanted to look at it again this morning. I wanted to make sure. Now, you can see if you agree with me or not. But I believe even in that verse that I had set aside and said there's no reference to the Word of God, I believe there is an indirect reference to the Word of God. I'm not stretching anything. I'll show you what I mean. The Word of God, in verse number 3 and verse number 37, there's the word ways and the word way. The Word of God said, blessed are the undefiled in the way. If you look at verse number 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You say, preacher, how can there be an indirect reference to the Word of God? Well, this talking about, if you look at this word, it means a course of life or a mode of action. If you'll read in the book of Acts, they were talking about Christians as those who were of that way. Aren't you glad, thank God, when we got saved, He changed our course of life. We were headed for hell at a breakneck speed. But God intervened, amen, and saved our never-dying soul, turned us around, put us in a narrow road, and now we're headed for heaven. Brother Mays Jackson used to say, heaven bound with the hammer down, amen. Brother Mays knew a Nazarene preacher. That Nazarene preacher believed in complete sanctification, that a man could live above sin. Well, I'm like Brother Mitchell. Brother Brian, I think we ought to strive for that. Amen. But I'm afraid, according to 1 John, we fall short of that. Amen. But let me say this to you. That man, that Nazarene preacher, said to Brother Mays one day, he said, Brother Mays, you're sanctified and don't know it. That Brother Mays looked back at him and said, yes, sir, and you're saved forever and don't know it too, brother. Amen. That's what he told him. That's the way Brother May, he had a way about him, didn't he? He wasn't going to argue with you. But amen, he was going to get the point across. And so I say way, and ways is an indirect reference to the Word of God. Now, if you'll look with me at verse number 84 and verse number 121. This is kind of just an overview of the entire psalm. We'll get right into this message today. If we look at verse number 84, the Bible said, how many are the days of thy servant? When will thou execute judgment? Now listen to me just a moment. That word judgment there is not used like as over and over in the book of Psalm 119, where it says thy judgments, where it's a direct reference to the Word of God. But it does use the word judgment, but it's an indirect reference. I'll tell you how in just a moment. In verse number 84, how many are the days of thy servant? When will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Now look with me, if you will, at verse number 121. The Bible said here, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. In other words, the psalmist here is not talking about God's judgment or God's word. He's talking about that word in his own life in these verses, okay? So you say, preacher, how could there be an indirect reference to the Word of God? Let me show you how. Let me get over here just a moment. I got to get over here to the verse. I've got a note here, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. In verse number 84, you say, how can it be an indirect reference, preacher? The same word that's used for judgment in verse number 84 is used in verse number 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. Now that's a direct reference to the word of God, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Now you say, preacher, I don't understand how it could be an indirect reference. Listen to what John 12 and verse number 48 said. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Now the psalmist here is praying that God will judge his enemy. Amen. And the word of God said over here, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I'll tell you, this book is going to be the decider in the last day. Amen. So I believe indirectly in those verses, there is a reference to the word of God. It's not a direct reference. I wouldn't argue that. But I believe indirectly when you talk about judging, you say, preacher, how can you judge? You know, people say, well, you shouldn't judge. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If the word of God said it's wrong, it's all right for you and I to say it's wrong. It's God's word that nailed that down. Say amen. Amen. And so if the word of God says it's right, it's all right for you and I to say that it's right. Amen. And I believe that's important. Just a couple more things real quickly as we get back over here. And we see in verse number 90, the word faithfulness. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse number 90. It said, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. You say, preacher, I don't understand how that could even be an indirect reference to the word of God. I want to help you. The word Hebrew for faithfulness comes from the Hebrew word emunah. It literally means firmness. Listen to me carefully. It means security. It means moral fidelity. It means a set office, stability, steady. Now here's where it comes in. Truly, verily, truth. That's what the word faithfulness right there means. Amen. I believe that's why Jesus could say, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Truly, truly, I say unto thee. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the living word, and we have before us the written word. And I believe it is an indirect reference to God's precious word. There's one more, and then we'll go on in the message. There's one more. Let me see where it's at here. The word in verse number 122. Y'all, excuse me right here. Amen. I feel like that old preacher said, somebody hold my mule while I shout. I'm telling you, I went to bed last night, and I said, there's one verse, Brother John, that does not make reference either directly or indirectly to the word of God. That's what I done. I went to bed. I done had it written down, Brother Danny. I said, there's one verse. It does. I got up this morning. I said, I didn't say nothing. How many knows it's the Holy Ghost told me to go back in there, say amen, and look at that one more time. Amen. I went back in there and I looked at it. And I looked at it. I squalled after a while. Miss Eve come in there. I said, look at this, baby. Look at this. I want to show you what the Lord showed me. Look at here in this verse here, verse number 122. Listen to this. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Last night, I couldn't see one thing directly or indirectly in that verse. Boy, glory to God, I'm about to shout. I couldn't see anything directly or indirectly in that verse that would make reference to the word of God. He said, preacher, where are you going? I don't think it's a stretch. Go with me. Would you go with me? Let's look at just a couple of things right here real quickly. Amen. We said, preacher, what are you doing with all that paper? I've got all of Psalm 119 printed out. All those words, judgments, testimonies. I got tired of listening to somebody else. Amen. I just wanted to go find out. Amen. How many times the word of God was mentioned in Psalm 119, or how many verses that it was left out of. Let's look here now at Psalm. I think we're looking at verse number 122 at this indirect reference. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. You know what surety means? It means he's saying, the psalmist is praying, put yourself between me and my enemies as if you were my pledge. That's what that means. Be surety. Put yourself, Lord, between me and mine enemies as if you were my pledge. Now listen, the Bible has a lot to say about surety, but I want you to listen to this. In Psalms 86 and 17, show me a token for good
that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast, this is an old timer's word, hope in me. Glory to God. I've heard old timer's brother Randy say, that sure did hope me. Amen. It's in the Bible. He said, thou hast hope in me. And watch this. And comforted me. You say, preacher, I still don't see it. Okay. Put yourself between me and mine enemies as if you were my pledge. Hebrews 7:22. Now hang on right here. The word of God said, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. I say glory to God. Right there in that word surety is an indirect reference to the Son of the living God that put himself between us and the enemy. The enemy would already have you. And the enemy would already have me. But glory to God for that elder brother that stepped in. Hallelujah. And said, I am Jesus. Hallelujah. What a blessing. So, you say, preacher, why'd you say all that? Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to stand right there. Psalm 119, 176 verses. Either directly or indirectly, every verse makes a reference to the word of the living God. Hallelujah. You know what I'm going to do? By the grace of God, if he lets me live another week, I'm going to plow another week. I'm going to get in this psalm another week and another week and another week. I want to spend, if God will help me, at least 22 weeks. I believe we ought to have at least one message out of each section in Psalm 119. It's blessing my heart. It's helping me, or hoping me, if you please. Amen. You know what I've always figured as a pastor? If it don't help me, it ain't going to help you. I feel sorry for men, Brother Matt, that don't think they need any hope. I'm going to tell you what, beloved, the longer you're in this race, the more you know you need his help. And the more you know that you need him. I thank God today. Walking at liberty. All right, that's the Sunday school lesson. Is that pretty good, Brother Brad? Pretty good, amen. Fair, amen. It's blessing me. I appreciate you being here today. I want to look at a simple thought here. Walking at liberty. And as we focus in on the Word of God in this section of the Scripture, let's go back to verse number 41. Psalm 119 and verse number 41. I'm excited, aren't you? Praise God for his Word. No wonder I'm getting ahead of myself. No wonder. I don't even know what verse it is. Brother Steve will look it up here in a minute. He said, I have magnified my word above my name. The word of God said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's not a higher name than the name of Jesus. And the word of God said he had magnified his word. No wonder Jesus said, it is written. No wonder. No wonder. No wonder. I tell you something, folks. We're living in a generation where more and more churches don't even need a Bible in the pulpit. Don't even need a Bible in the Sunday school class. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We need the word of God. We need the Word of God. We need the God of the Word. Walking at liberty. Verse number 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. I want to give you three things, just three simple things in these eight verses that I believe will be a blessing in walking at liberty. Let me just say this, first of all, I see redemption through the Word in these eight verses. Let me ask you a question. Brother Brian, he taught a couple Sundays ago on let us lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Now that's talking to Christians. But how many remembers that ball and chain you were carrying as a sinner? I'm telling you, that was a heavy weight. I'm telling you, I thank God that I come to a place in my life where I got tired of dragging that. Actually, I wasn't dragging it. It was dragging me. Would somebody help me right there? Dragging me straight towards hell. But here in the Word of God, in verse number 1, we see redemption through the Word. He said, preacher, where do you see redemption? In the Word, mercies. I tell you this morning, it is the grace of God and the mercy of God that any of us are saved today. The redemption that comes through the Word of God. Then he said here, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. I say hallelujah. We've been redeemed. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Oh, thank God. Listen, the word of God, my friend, is that seed, incorruptible seed, when planted in the life of a man, can bring forth fruit unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. You say, preacher, that don't do much for me. Well, have you been to Calvary? Do you know where you should have been today? Where you should have been today is not a place that's cold. Woman come in one time, Dad and I were working on her house. Said, our preacher taught us today that hell was cold. That's exactly right. That's what she said. Said, our preacher taught us that hell was cold. Well, are you going to believe her preacher or are you going to believe Jesus? Hell is a place of eternal torment. Hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched, the Bible said. I'll tell you, the psalmist is excited about walking in liberty because those chains have fallen off and now he's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He can walk on. He can run the race with patience because sin is no longer dragging him down. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Oh, glory to God. He set me free. Amen. Redemption through the word of God. Let thy mercies come also unto me. Oh, Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Let me give you something. There's a lot of saviors being preached and a lot of salvations being preached. But the only one that'll work is the one that's according to the word of God. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Redemption through the word. You know what that ought to cause us to do? That ought to cause us to want to hug our Bible. That ought to cause us to want to kiss our Bible. That ought to cause us to want to read our Bible. You say, preacher, I'm going to heaven. I'm glad for you, but right here's the reason you're going. I'm so glad that I grew up in a part of the country where some fire-breathing man of God would get up and preach the Word of God to me that I might understand my need of a Savior. Brother John called me last week. He said, preacher, I got something for you to develop. And I said, what is it, Brother John? He's talking about over there. You remember this down at Liberty Baptist where Jesus threw them tables over. I've preached several times out of that text in my life. Everybody wants the gentle Jesus. Brother John said, preacher, I just got thinking about not so nice. Jesus wasn't so nice that day in the temple. He made a scourge of small cords. He didn't give up and give a speech like a politician and say, would y'all please leave? He drove them out of the house of God. Nobody wants to talk about that. Everybody wants to talk about grace, but nobody wants to talk about judgment. Everybody wants to talk about heaven, but nobody wants to hear about hell. They're both just as real. And we find it in the Word of God. If it wasn't for God's Word, if it wasn't for redemption through the Word of God, I'd still be on my way to hell. Secondly, in the message this evening, this afternoon, we're talking about walking at liberty. There's not only redemption through the Word, but there's a response with the Word. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 42. When you're walking at liberty, how many's ever like me? Listen to me carefully. Went through a situation and you knew as soon as you went through it that you missed an opportunity to speak for the Lord. How many knows what I'm talking about? I mean, you didn't even have to wait till that evening. You knew you done blew it. You done wasted an opportunity. Now listen to me. Listen, I'm talking about walking in liberty now. If we'll look back at those situations, something had us tied up. Help me. Maybe our mind was tied up with where we need to be. Maybe, I believe this makes reference to some authority. Let me read it here. Here, in these verses here, where am I at? Right here, in verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Watch this. For I have hoped in thy judgments. Look at verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. Have you ever felt intimidated? Maybe it was a doctor. Do you know what doctors need Jesus to? You know what I know? Some of them have him. Some of them are not even ashamed to put stuff on the wall that lets you know that they have him. And that they're not the great physician. But hallelujah, Jesus is the great physician. The psalmist here is walking at liberty. He has the liberty to speak the word of God as he goes through life's way. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we don't have that liberty, I'll just about guarantee you that there's some weight or some sin that needs to be laid aside. Now, wait a minute. Help me right here. I want some volunteers. How many believes it's right to be a witness for Christ? Would you raise your hands? Is it right to be a witness for Christ? Okay. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him it is sin. That's what the Word of God said. We need to walk at liberty and have that liberty, not only that comes from redemption, but that liberty to speak the Word of God, that liberty to respond to others with the Word of God. You know, I think it's worth noting when Jesus was faced with the devil. Brother Johnny, Jesus could have said something like this. Do you know who I am? How many knows the devil knew who he was? He sure did. If you be the Son of God, he knew who he was. He's just trying to get him to mess up. Amen. He knew what he was up to. Don't you think the devil knew that what was promised in Genesis chapter 3 was being fulfilled in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I believe he knew exactly what was about to take place. But Jesus didn't say, do you know who I am? He said, it is written. You and I, apart from God's word and God's spirit, are absolutely no match for the enemy. And the psalmist knew. He said, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to respond with the word of God. I'm going to have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word. The psalmist was saying, hey, when I need it, it'll be there. Why? Because the psalmist had been hiding the word in his heart. If Jesus didn't know the Word of God, Jesus couldn't have responded with the Word of God. You and I need to know the Word of God. Redemption through the Word. The response with the Word. But I'm going to give you this. And I'm done. I see that the psalmist is rewarded by the Word. What do you mean, preacher? Look at verse number 44. He said, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. You say, what kind of reward do you see in that? Here's what I see. Faith to keep on walking. Brother Randy, did you ever quit? Feel like quitting? Just stop walking. You know what God will do? You stay in that book. I stay in that book. God's people stay in that book. He'll give us faith just to keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on talking. Keep on going. When you don't feel like going, that's what the Word of God will do for you. I don't know about you. That's a pretty good reward. I believe there's a reward in heaven. But I also believe there's a reward right here. Thank God I don't have to carry that mess I used to carry. And thank God, when I don't feel like it, I can keep on walking because of the Word of God. Secondly, not only faith to keep on walking, but there's a freedom to keep on walking. Look at verse number 45. He said, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. There's a freedom. We need faith, but we also need freedom. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, when we bow at an altar or bow in our home or bow wherever we bow, and we say, Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I've sinned. Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me my joy back. There needs to be faith. But there also needs to be freedom. We don't need to get up dragging that same ball and chain out that we drug in. Somebody say amen. That's why lay aside. Casting all your care upon Him. A lot of God's people's got a big reel, like on a deep sea fishing rig. Brother Rose, they cast it on Him, then they reel it back in. God wants us to cast it on Him and leave it there. Cast your burden on the Lord and leave it there. Rewarded by the Word of God. There's faith to keep on walking. There's freedom to keep on walking. But I like this, and I'm going to close with this. There's fellowship to keep on walking. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Here's what I mean. Stay in the Word of God, and it won't be long, and you'll find out you're not walking by yourself. See, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Hey, you hear any voice contrary to this? It wasn't His voice. Right here is where you'll hear His voice. And He said, I know them. And He said, they follow me. One little boy said it like this. He said, went home, he told his mom. He said, Mom, he said, I know what God's name is. She said, what's His name, son? He said, Andy. He said, where did you get that, son? He said, I heard him down at the church singing. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me give you this. I'm going to hurry. But if you've ever walked with Him, nothing else will ever do. If you've ever fellowshipped with the Son of God, nothing else will suffice. It's this book that will warm our heart and draw us back to Him. Amen. Walking in liberty. Walking. Faith to keep on walking. Freedom to keep on walking. Fellowship to keep on walking. What do you see, preacher? Look here with me in verse number 47. There's several things here. I see delight. In verse number 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments. I've often said that's what I call the dessert bar, delight. The salad bar is duty. The dessert bar is delight. Amen. And by the way, I got Bible to back that up. His word's supposed to be sweet, like honey. I got some more Bible to back that up. The righteous shall be made fat. You'll get that on the way to the house. You ain't going to get fat at the salad bar. You know I'm kidding you. I used to say I hate skinny people, and I've been hanging around Noah, and he's got me almost loving them. Amen. Delight. In verse number 47, which I have loved. You see a desire. In verse number 48, he says it again, I'll lift up my, also will I lift up on my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. You see, a desire for the word of God. But then, you see, in verse number 48, he said, my hands will I lift up. You see a determination. Listen, it's not just going to happen by chance. Daniel said, the word of God said that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You get over in the book of Acts somewhere, I know it's over there. But when I think it was Paul that came in, and he was so pleased because he said, with purpose of heart, they cleaved unto the Lord. They did it on purpose. And I believe that's what's going on here in the psalmist's heart. He's meditating. He's determined. My hands, I'm going to lift them up unto thy commandments. You say, when we meditate, it means to ponder. Meditation on the Word of God will keep us in the way, but it'll also keep us through the watch. Look in verse number 148, Psalm 119, 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I may meditate in thy word. That's talking about them long nights. It's talking about those folk that's over here this evening on the third floor at Wilcox Hall. They don't know if their loved one will be here in the morning or not. Talking about those folks that know that mom or dad or brother or sister going into that nursing home, and there's no hope that they'll ever come out again. The psalmist said, I know what the night watches are like. He said, I'm going to tell you what's seeing me through the night watch. The Word of God. Meditating in the Word of God. There's families right here in this church that can testify to that. They just stayed with the book. And God didn't see them from the calamity, but God saw them through the calamity. He specializes in it. I had several verses on meditation. I'm going to skip them. Get down to this. I think this would be good. Meditation extracts sweetness from the promises and nourishment from the whole truth. Meditation makes a wise teacher and an efficient worker of one who has little natural skill or learning. You all may not understand what I'm about to say, but when I look in the mirror, I see the most unlikely man to be doing what I'm doing in the whole world. My wife is the most unlikely woman in the world to be where she is, doing what she's doing. But God, I can't remember how old Miss Eve was, 16, 17 years old. We were riding in an 18-wheeler. I didn't even have any business driving. It didn't have a license. Driving in and out of Baltimore. Taking them back and forth to the shop where I worked. The boss asked me if I could drive one of them. I said, can't be much different than a dump truck. I've been driving one of them in a quarry for 2 years. But it is a lot different than a dump truck. Your back wheels are 30-some feet behind you. Amen, Brother Rose. I looked over at my wife, and I said, Eve, do you fear God?
She said, "No, am I supposed to? You tell me God can't work. What are you saying, preacher? Meditation can make a teacher or a worker out of one who has little natural skill or learning. Meditation subjects the soul to the sanctifying power of the Word of God. Meditation, listen to this, is an invitation to the Holy Spirit to bless the soul, for He is closely associated with the truth, and He delights to see the truth honored." I believe that, don't you? I hope this ain't going over your head. I hope it's going into your heart. I'm telling you, we'll never be any closer to God than we are to this book. If you want to be close to Him, you get close to this book. It'll get sweeter as the days go by. Listen to this and I'm done. The story goes that Henry Ford, he once hired an efficiency expert to evaluate his company. After a few weeks, the expert made his report, which was highly favorable, except for one thing. He said, "It's that man down the hall." He said, "Every time I go by his office, he's just sitting there with his feet on his neck." He said to Henry Ford, "He's wasting your money." Henry Ford said, "That man, he once had an idea that saved us millions of dollars." He said, "At the time, I believe his feet were planted where they are right now." I tell you what, Henry Ford was pretty wise, wasn't he? A lot of people mistake busyness for godliness. That man's feet was planted right there, and it looked like, it reminded me of my dad and I. Brother John laughs at this. I got with my dad one day, and I said, "Dad," I said, "we're going to have to do something." He said, "What, son?" I said, "Dad, we're working ourselves to death, and we're not making any money." Dad said, "Yeah, but son, we got plenty of work." Two different schools of thought there, I guess. Amen. That didn't jive with my school of thought too good. Dad figured out real quick that you could charge a fair price for a good job, and people was willing to pay that. But there were times when Dad and I were working together. And don't you get me wrong, I'm not trying to put Dad in a bad light or me in a good light. I'm just telling a story. Where I'd kick a 5-gallon bucket of sheetrock mud over in the corner and sit down on it. You say, "What was you doing sitting over there, preacher?" Well, I was doing like Jethro. I was Saffron. How many knows what I'm talking about? I was trying to figure something out. And Dad, if he said it once, he said it a dozen times. Brother Danny say, "Son, get up and do something if it is wrong." I said, "Dad, that's the problem. We're doing too many things that we have to turn around and undo. And it takes longer to undo than it does to do." Let me tell you something about life. There'd be a lot less undoing if we would do. If we'd sit on the bucket. Y'all know the story of Martha and Mary. Y'all have heard me say, and it's the truth, my middle name would be Martha. It wouldn't be Mary. That's how I'm cut out. That ain't going to keep me from trying. Keep me from knowing that I need to plant my feet in the Word of God. Why? I'm done. That I might walk at liberty. That I might walk at liberty. God help us to plant our feet in the Word of God. I'll say this to you, and I appreciate you being here.
I don't know who here today is saved and who ain't. You say, preacher, you know all of us. Not like he does. I promise you that. But the Word of God is exactly what the sinner needs. And it is exactly what the saints need. We need the Word of God. Brother Grizzle, I believe the closer we get to His coming, the more we better determine to bury our nose up in that book. That book will keep us praying for our teenagers. If our teenagers will open that book, it'll be a lamp unto their feet. It'll be a light unto their path. They won't have so many things that need to be undone because they can do what God wants them to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege to preach the Word of God this afternoon. Lord, this is a precious psalm. Lord, I thank you that I got to walk into the church today free. I'm not bound. God, as we heard at Sunday school the other morning, Lord, that lesson, Lord, stuck in my heart. God, if we're bound by something weighting us down, maybe it's not a bad thing, but it becomes a bad thing because it keeps us from the best thing. God, I pray today you set us free. Lord, there may be somebody here today, Lord, that's just laying their Bible down day after day, week after week. Oh, God, it's a treasure. Help them, Lord, to pick it up. Help them to dig down and to mine out those gold nuggets, our Father, that you have there for us. Help us, God, to walk at liberty. Those that need to be saved, God, speak to their heart. Help them, Lord, that they might trust the Lord before it's everlasting too late. Help us, God, to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that lieth in us.